2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. Should be pretty close to having this memorized by now. As many weeks as we've been in it, we'll still have at least one more week, maybe two, after tonight as well. Paul is reminding Timothy that he had fully known certain things about the Apostle Paul, and he gives us a list of these things. There's seven of them here in verse number 10, a couple more in verse number 11. But he says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." We're going to focus in on Paul's long-suffering tonight. But before we get into the message, let's go ahead and ask God's blessing. Father, we're grateful to be able to be here tonight. Thank you for the saving grace that you showed us when we called on you as our Savior and trusted you and Jesus' finished work on Calvary. And Father, thank you for the assurance we can have of eternal life. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to go through this world and face the things we face with that assurance. But Father, now as we come to your word, we realize that, Father, we all sin and we ask forgiveness of that in order that your Holy Spirit might have free reign in our hearts. Cleanse us, enlighten us, and challenge us tonight. Again, we think of our nation, our president, and all the officials and leaders that we have that are making decisions. Father, give them wisdom and give them guidance. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Paul's testimony of long-suffering. Timothy, of course, has spent much time with the Apostle Paul and witnessed Paul's long-suffering. Now, it's a word that we're familiar with, but can we define long-suffering? Now, the last word in this verse is patience. And so, how do we know the difference between patience and long-suffering, or are they synonyms? Do they mean the same thing? And I think it's just logical to assume that they do not mean the same thing. Otherwise, they wouldn't both be listed in this one list, because that would just be redundancy. So, obviously, long-suffering and patience mean different things. And this plays out throughout the Word of God. When you read the word long-suffering, it's talking about having patience with people. Or one definition is just simply that the ability to take abuse. Don't you love that? If I stopped right there, it would be a challenge, wouldn't it? The ability to take abuse. Because we shy away from it, we walk away from it. Oftentimes we're not willing to take abuse. And generally what we're talking here is verbal abuse, but with the Apostle Paul, there was also physical abuse, even to the point of being stoned at Lystra and being left for dead. And so it's the ability to take abuse, but without growing angry with the person that's the source of that abuse. Imagine how difficult that is. Taking abuse from someone who's calling you names, making fun of you as a Christian, or belittling you for your faith, and being able to maintain your composure to such a point that you do not grow angry. Now, how can we do that? The answer to that is very simple. Turn over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, that would be on page 1648. Galatians chapter 5. How do we take abuse without growing angry? And I'm going to begin, and you know what's in Galatians chapter 5. I refer to it frequently, and in this study, I believe we've already been here. But I'm going to back up to verse number 16, because I think this puts verses 22 and 23 into context. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, keep that phrase in mind, because that's important, because if we're going to ever truly exhibit long-suffering like the Apostle Paul did, and Timothy fully knew that Paul did it, and he witnessed Paul exercise long-suffering, that is how it's done. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jumping down to verse number 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And he goes on and lists some of the works of the flesh. Towards the end of verse number 20, he has both wrath and strife. Those both are the opposite of long-suffering. Wrath is the attitude of anger and not letting go of that anger. Strife is acting on that anger or on that wrath. And so that's a work of the flesh. That's what God tells us in His Word. And so we keep that in mind. But if we're walking after the Spirit, if we're led of the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the works of the flesh, are we? And so in verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." What's that next one? Long-suffering. Exactly what we're talking about. And so how do we take abuse without growing angry is just simply being led of the Spirit. And so we want to be a person of much long-suffering because it's the result of being led of the Spirit. Letting God just simply use us and take us. Look at verse 24. This is important to being led of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit in the whole context of taking abuse. He says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so what he's telling us here is that we can, if we're led of the Spirit, we can exhibit long-suffering. Because if we're led of the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, we're going to realize that we're dead to ourselves. We're dead to the flesh. And the anger generally results from that of pride or from pride within ourselves. Our emotions get hurt or our feelings get hurt or we get offended at what they said or how they said it or what they did. And so then we see red. We've all been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The anger that flares up in a moment and we feel like we have to respond to it. No, we don't have to respond to it. What we need to do at a moment like that is just simply surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit would not have us act in that fashion. Turn over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, just a couple of pages, 1657. Ephesians chapter 4. God tells us there in verse 26, Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And I've emphasized this verse numerous times since I've been here, that it is possible to be angry without sinning. But this verse also tells us that it is possible to be angry and have that anger be sin. And so we should have a testimony of long suffering because most anger is sin. If that anger is not because of someone's blasphemy against God or someone belittling another in a moral sense, if it's done for those reasons, if we get angry at sin, I mean, we ought to get angry at some of the things going on in our nation. The abortion crowd as they're pushing their agenda, and the sodomite crowd as they push their agenda, that ought to upset you. That's not an angry sin. But if someone calls you a name or someone does something that isn't kind and you grow angry, that is a sin. And so God makes it very clear that most anger that's experienced by the average Christian is sin. And so we need to exhibit this long-suffering that Paul displayed before Timothy all those years. And he's reminding him here, "Timothy, I'm getting ready to go home. You're going to be on your own. You're going to have to take the leadership. You're going to have to walk in my shoes. You're going to have to take my place. And if you're going to do it successfully, you're going to have to remember how I did it. You're going to have to remember how I ministered. You're going to have to exhibit or mimic how I lived." And one of those ways was long-suffering. Time after time after time, we see when Paul went into a city to preach, the Jews attacked him. And they would rally the Gentile leadership of the city, and he would be attacked from every side. And I don't believe Paul ever responded contrary, did he? He always showed long-suffering. And so he was careful not to allow the sin of anger in his life. Now turn over, if you would, to the book of James. chapter 1, 1732 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible. James chapter 1, page 1732. Let's start with verse number 18. James chapter 1, verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay, so he's talking about being saved, being born again, becoming a child of God. And so he says, wherefore, because you're a child of God, because you've been born again, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, aren't you glad that's the way God is? He's swift to hear. When we pray, God listens. He gives us an answer to every prayer we ever utter His direction. Now, it may not be recognized, the answer may not be recognized, because we think God only answers the prayers that He answers the way we want them to go. But God has His glory in mind, He has your good in mind, He has His plan for the ages in mind, and He answers accordingly. But God is swift to hear. And he says, because you're a child of God, you too ought to be swift to hear. He says that we need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Now, oftentimes, when someone is abusing us verbally and saying things you ought not to say, and we get into a little bit of an argument, what's going through your mind? Are you really listening to what they're having to say? Generally, the answer to that question is no. What we're doing is we're trying to figure out how to respond, and so we're just waiting for our turn to be able to talk. And God says that ought not be that way. Be swift to hear. Listen to what's being said. And in premarital counseling, I always share this verse, how important it is to listen. Because too often, we don't listen. We already have our mind made up, and we're going to respond as our mind is made up. And what that other person is saying is irrelevant. We already know how we're going to act, how we're going to feel, and what we're going to do. And God says, don't be that way. I'm glad God's not that way. I'm glad God is slow to wrath. And we could have gone through the Bible and shown that God is long-suffering with us. In fact, we probably, while we were in Ephesians chapter 4, should have looked a little bit further down in the chapter where it talks about the long-suffering of God and how merciful He is toward us, and therefore we should be long-suffering with others. But let's continue on here in James, okay? Verse 18, we're born again. Verse 19, we need to be like God and be swift to hear. But look at what it tells us in verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so we should be slow to wrath, and we should exhibit long suffering because we are God's child. Now, I know this is James talking and this isn't Paul, but let's look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at a couple of verses there, because Paul, though he doesn't say the same words, says the same thing in other words. Now, remember, it's the Holy Spirit of God who is the author, using the Apostle Paul. And Paul's life, I believe, measured up to the things that he wrote. I believe James did as well. But because you have the same author of Romans as you do of James, from a divine perspective, there is only one God, and He gave us His Word. And so, it's no wonder that these agree. Well, let's look at verse number 18. I'm sorry, not verse number 18. Verse number 17 is where we'll start. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, when he says recompense to no man evil for evil, what he's saying is if someone comes up and treats you in an evil manner, whether it's their actions or their words, he says don't respond in the same way. In fact, look at verse number 21. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the way we're supposed to be. And that's a working definition of the word long-suffering. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, let's back up to verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so, he's saying the same thing that James was saying, just with different words. Now, James was saying, because you're a child of God, show long suffering, be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. And so it all ties into being born again. What Paul's saying here, because we're a child of God, our Father in heaven will notice, sit up and take notice when someone is treating us with evil. And he will respond in an appropriate fashion. Now, it may not be in the fashion that you and I would like to see. Sometimes you like to see that bolt of lightning come out of heaven and strike them down. But God doesn't normally do that, does he? In fact, I don't know how often he does it. It's very rare. And so we're not always satisfied with God's repayment. But God is always just. And we, if we're honest, will admit that we're not always innocent in these cases. And that sometimes we deserve what we got. And so God will repay in a righteous fashion because he's our Father, because we're a child of God. Look over in chapter 13 across the page, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill." Now there's our long-suffering. There's our refraining from anger. You say, well, that says kill. That doesn't say anger. Well, read the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, and he tells us that when God said, "Thou shalt not kill," he was talking about not just the physical act, but he was talking about anger that springs up, and calling our brother a fool, or raka is the word that it uses there in the book of Matthew. And so when it says, "Thou shalt not kill," he's talking about anger. He says, "Thou shalt not." In other words, display long-suffering. Take abuse without growing angry. And then that way we fulfill the law. And so we need to display long-suffering. All right, let's look at one more passage of Scripture. No, I've got two more. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, page 1686. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Notice what God says here. He says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Now this is interesting, because I think oftentimes we overlook this. We know that it's almost useless to pray without faith, with doubting. James talks about a double-minded man. Think not that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so when he's talking about doubting, we understand that and we can relate to that. We know exactly what God's talking about. But then to associate wrath or a lack of long-suffering with doubting, we normally don't make that association. Normally we think, well, I have a right to be angry. I can be angry and it's not going to affect anything in my spiritual life. Well, God says right here that it's going to affect your prayer life just the same way that praying as a double-minded man would affect your prayer life. God says the two have the same consequences in your prayer life. And so if you are harboring anger against anyone, you need to just let it go. You need to just forgive that individual, and you need to just get on with your life, because the only person that's hurting is you if you're angry with them. Yes, they may have wronged you. Yes, they may have said things they shouldn't have done or done things they shouldn't have done that were harmful to you, but it's your choice how you respond. Will you respond in the flesh, or will you respond in the spirit? And the decision you make in that regards will affect your prayer life. And so if you are having difficulty getting prayer answered, maybe you just need to search your heart. Am I harboring anger towards anyone for anything? Because God says that's the same as being a double-minded man in your prayer life. And so we want to exhibit long-suffering because it will hinder our prayer life. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start with the first verse of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. Here's another reason, reason number five, why we should exhibit long-suffering. And I'm going to give them to you again, just repeat them in the order I have them, not the order I've given them to you tonight. First of all, we should exhibit long-suffering because we are a child of God. Secondly, we should exhibit long-suffering because anger can be sin. Thirdly, we should exhibit long-suffering because it is a result of being led of the Spirit to show long-suffering. Fourthly, we should exhibit long-suffering because anger will hinder your prayer life. And now we'll find that we should exhibit long-suffering because it is essential for effective ministry. It is essential if you want to accomplish anything for God in your life. He says in verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Jumping down to verse 3, "giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience." What was patience having to deal with? Long-suffering deals with people. Patience deals with circumstances. Okay, and you follow through the Word of God, you'll always find that distinction. So if you want to know what the difference between patience and long-suffering is, patience is dealing with circumstances. Long-suffering is dealing with people. Okay? And so, as the ministers of God, approving ourselves in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, and by verse number 6, by pureness, by knowledge. And what's that next one? By long-suffering. And so, in order to have effective ministry, there's a whole list of things here that we need to have in our lives. And one of those is long-suffering. And I think this is important for us to discuss and to hit on, because so many people have an issue with anger. And we have various ways of justifying it. We might say it's because of our red hair, or we might say the Irish in me is coming out, or some people will use a family name where anger was a kind of a characteristic of their parents or grandparents, and they think that makes it okay. No, it doesn't. We're a child of God. And so whether we have red hair, whether we're Irish, or whether we have a family history of anger issues, it does not make it all right. Because we need to do what God has commanded us to do. And what God has commanded us to do is to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And a part of that fruit is long-suffering. Timothy saw Paul display long-suffering. People abuse Paul like they will never abuse you, no matter how hard you try. They will not be as contrary as they were towards Paul. And Paul was able to maintain long-suffering. You can too. And so, for the glory of God, let's make up our minds that I will not get angry when people abuse me. Instead, I'll walk in the Spirit. And the only thing I'll owe them is love. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it now as we contemplate these thoughts. Father, we know the emotions you've placed within us, and we know that anger can be such a strong emotion when we run into someone who doesn't treat us well. Father, help us to allow your Holy Spirit to prevail in those situations that will bring glory to your holy name. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.